Todd Zwillick, Takeaway Washington correspondent. That was an 8.9 on the Richter scale last night in the Virginia Republican primary. Who is picking up the pieces today?
You might be lowballing it. Hi, John. What a shocker for the political world. Nobody saw this coming, and anybody on radio, TV, or Twitter who tells you they knew it all along just isn't telling the truth. It's a shockwave from top to bottom. Eric Cantor outspent his opponent, David Bratt, like 10-1, about actually 13-1. David Bratt had about $200,000 for this race. Eric Cantor, the majority leader and massive fundraiser, had millions, and it wasn't enough, John.
Bratt got 55.5% of the vote. Eric Cantor got 44.5% of the vote. It was an absolute landslide. Bratt is an economics professor at Randolph-Macon College in Ashland, Virginia. I mean, about the only data point you really have on him is he's rated on Rate My Professor, the online college rating, is 3.4 for overall quality. The student said he's so charming and really knows how to incorporate real-world examples to keep the class exciting and relatable. That's hardly a campaign strategy, but it really, really worked. What are the implications here for Eric Cantor? First of all, let's listen to him reacting to what was clearly a shocker to him.
It's disappointing, sure. But I believe in this country. I believe there's opportunity around the next corner for all of us.
So he was pretty miserable last night.
Yeah, well, you know what David Bratt did have, despite a massive fundraising deficit? He had a ton of free media. Look, the national Tea Party groups, Tea Party Patriots, Tea Party Express, the big ones that you've heard about, they did not spend money on this race. They weren't involved. But what David Bratt had was the support of a lot of AM conservative talk radio personalities like Laura Ingraham, like Mark Levin, other people who were talking up this race. That's free media, and that's radio that people listen to, and it got a lot of people out from this race. Eric Cantor also had some local political problems that were not widely reported, and a lot of people on the local scene mad at him. While he was spending quite a lot of time, look, he is the majority leader. He's got national responsibilities and national ambitions. John Boehner, the speaker, has said that he's not long for this world as Speaker of the House. Nobody knows if he's going to remain after 2014, and Eric Cantor was one of the heirs apparent. So implications, John? Look, David Bratt is an interesting figure. He still has to run against a Democrat. We also don't know if Eric Cantor might run a write-in campaign in November. It's all possible, but he's not going to be Speaker. We know that. And now the Republican leadership of the House is such a mix-up and in such disarray. That's the real question everyone is asking, is how long is it going to take the House Republican majority and the Republican Party to sort out their leadership, not only for Speaker, but the power vacuum that's now left behind Speaker and all of the people who want to move up the chain and which factions of the party they're going to represent.
This also really shows the split in the GOP. You've got the strident sort of rhetoric of the AM radio, talk radio conservatives. Laura Ingraham was all over this, as you're saying. But if you listen to David Bratt, he's right in the center of the whole thing. He doesn't really sound that extreme at all. Listen.
What you don't do is the Dream Act and all these things that sound good in the short run. The 11 million were already going back before our Congressman Cantor and the rest of the Democrats announced that they're going to let kids stay and come in. Now there's a whole new wave coming in due to Eric Cantor's policies. And so that's where we are. And those signals incentivize the wrong behavior.
I think it's fairly clear to say that immigration, Cantor was something of a champion of immigration, is stalled in the water here.
It was stalled before, and now it's double stalled. Dead before, now it's double dead before November. I don't think there's any question about that. As people try to unpack and tease apart what this loss was really about for Eric Cantor, immigration is part of it, but only a small part. Look, nobody who's for comprehensive immigration reform thought before yesterday that Eric Cantor was a big ally. It's true that he did favor what a lot of people have come to call, aspects of the Dream Act, but that's only a very, very narrow part of comprehensive reform, letting children who came here at a very young age, if they're illegal, stay in the country. That's only a very small facet of it. It was a way in for David Bratt to criticize. But John, the most interesting thing in my view about this is that Eric Cantor, going all the way back to 2010, is one of the architects, one of the designers of the recruitment effort for the Tea Party
right.
revolution and
exactly.
the conservative revolution. And so it's the purity of conservatism that came and bit Eric Cantor in this race. Not only immigration, David Bratt criticized Eric Cantor for not doing more to defund and repeal Obamacare, even though they had 40 votes on the House. House floor, for giving up, for voting eventually to end the government shutdown. It was the purity that Eric Cantor helped foment to propel the Republicans to the majority that eventually becomes so difficult to manage for somebody who also has national leadership responsibilities and national leadership ambitions.
Todd, you have 15 seconds. Do the Democrats have a play here with David Brat being a relative unknown?
The Democrats have a candidate. His name is Trammell. He's also a professor at Randolph-Macon College.
I love that.
So, look, it's a Republican district, but Cantor had huge name recognition. We have to wait to see if he does it right, and it's a total toss-up at this point.
Todd Zwillick, takeaway Washington correspondent on Eric Cantor shockingly losing the Republican primary in the state of Virginia.